This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Tomorrow about this time, the lead story on this program is going to be the Federal Reserve's decision to cut interest rates because, come on, they're gonna. We know that because Chair Jay Powell has all but told us they're going to do that. And therein, that we know what the Fed's going to do before they actually do it, lies our story today. Because it wasn't all that long ago that the idea of the Fed being so radically transparent was heresy. That was the gist of where I started with Powell when we had him on the program last summer.
Why are you doing this interview?
You know, part of it just is that I feel that we have an obligation to explain ourselves. I think we're shifting our focus a little bit to address sort of the American people more generally and try to explain what we do, why we're doing it, and how we carry out the important jobs that Congress has given us.
I ran that by Peter Conti Brown. He's a Fed historian at Wharton. So if I say Federal Reserve communications policy to you, what do you think?
I think of a tortured history. I think of the Wizard of Oz. I think of the Fed trying to be the wizard to the citizens of Emerald City, but now trying to say, but we should invite the visitors from Kansas behind the curtain.
Exhibit A in that Fed as the Wizard of Oz analogy, one Alan Greenspan.
Clearly, sustained low inflation implies less uncertainty about the future, and lower risk premiums imply higher prices of stocks and other earning assets. We can see that in the inverse relationship exhibited by price-earnings ratios and the rate of inflation in the past.
Greenspan was notoriously hard to follow, which, says Peter Conti Brown, was the whole point.
He loved keeping people on their heels, unsure of what the Fed would do next, because that preserved quite a lot of policy space for him and the other central bankers at the FOMC to dominate.
That was all well and good until the economic bottom fell out in 2008, and slowly but surely, the Bernanke Fed realized it had to open up a little bit. He did interviews, he went on 60 Minutes for crying out loud, and then, after the Fed's meeting in April of 2011, he started holding press conferences.
Good afternoon. Welcome. In my opening remarks, I'd like to briefly first review today's policy decision. I'll then turn next to the Federal Open Market Committee's quarterly economic projections, also being released today.
Bernanke started them. Yellen continued them quarterly, by the way. Now Powell does them 8 times a year, speaking as plainly as a Fed chair can, I guess.
We have an economy where the expansion is continuing. Growth is at a healthy level. The labor market is strong. We see job creation. We see wages moving up. Inflation is low, which gives us the ability to be patient. I see us on a good path for this year.
The question, though, is who is he talking to and are they listening? There's a farmer's market every Friday not far from Marketplace World headquarters here in L.A. So over we went last week to find Maria Blakely selling microgreens with her husband, Jeremiah. Microgreens, I learned, by the way, being tiny, barely sprouted arugula and kale and the like.
Is it like a space thing? You don't need as much space for the microgreens? I'm asking stupid questions, but I truly don't know.
No, that's actually a great selling point right there, because
right.
You do
save. You don't
save,
want an overstuffed wrap, right? That's
well, you
the
don't
worst.
Want to overstuff your wrap, but you don't want to overstuff your refrigerator either,
exactly.
So it saves a lot of space.
So if I ask you, Maria, about the Federal Reserve and interest rates, what do you say?
I mean, obviously that... Interesting. I think if it's going down, it's good for business. If not, it's going to affect small businesses like ours a little bit.
Jim Barkley's a couple of stalls down. He sells cheese crisps.
Now, if I said to you that Jay Powell said the other day he's going to do everything he can to keep this expansion going, what do you think?
I don't have a good response. And like, okay, good for him. I don't know what that actually means. I don't know if that means he's going to keep interest rates down or raise interest rates. I don't know.
Do you think you need to know?
Not at this level of business. I don't think it affects me much.
Why do you think that?
I'm an individual business owner. I'm unlikely to go out and get a big loan. I think it affects people who have lots of money that they're getting loans on, or maybe even people that are buying houses. I'm not buying a house. I'm a renter.
Peter Conti Brown, one more time.
I think it's wrong to assume that absolutely everyone needs a seat at the table to discuss the technical nitty-gritty of monetary policy.
Everybody? Maybe not. Some? Yes. Congress, for sure, they get to decide what the Fed's job is, like Jay Powell said earlier. Also, investors.
We analyze Fed speeches like an eighth grader analyzes like text messages.
That was Ming Jia. She's a trading manager at Betterment. We talked to her after the Fed's meeting last month.
Every single word matters. Every single word counts. And I think that they are very measured in the way that they speak. And especially with the rapid dissemination of their like press releases and how quickly markets respond to things like that, I think they have only become more cautious.
For traders like Jia, more communication from the Fed means more data. For everybody else, we go one last time back to Fed historian Peter Conti Brown. This is a two-part question. Who is the Federal Reserve talking to, and who should the Federal Reserve be talking to?
The Fed is talking to market participants and politicians, I think primarily. It aims and wants and longs to speak to everyone. And has an idea of itself that because the Fed wields such extraordinary power over the day-to-day economic life of anyone who participates in the payment system, anyone who ever borrows or spends money, those people should know who the Fed is and what it does. But those are three very different conversations. The conversations you have with market participants who trade on Fed information and politicians who are trying to exercise supervision over this institution and Uncle Buck around the table at Thanksgiving who likes to yell about stuff but that he doesn't quite understand, right? Those are very different conversations to have, and the Fed is trying to have them all simultaneously. And that's the challenge of Fed communications.
Tune in tomorrow to see if we read the signals right. The smart money is on a quarter percentage point cut in what is called the federal funds rate.